Hey, how's it going, Niners? Brandon Watson here. I'm on Windows Phone talking to Steve Kossman about Bing. You were program manager for Bing Search on phone, or Search on Windows Phone. Sorry, I got all the titles wrong. But we're here to talk about audio search for Windows Phone. Yep. You know, what we've been doing is a couple of videos where we talk to the guys that are really responsible for designing the features to give our developer audience and kind of the tech enthusiasts, the guys that are really excited about what's going on behind the curtain, what's going on in the product. And, you know, we just have now announced this feature out, kind of showed a bit more. Thought it'd be cool to talk about the technology that's going on behind the scenes. So the first question I tend to ask is, what is the most difficult thing? And this is a broad question, but what is the most difficult thing about solving this problem? Talk a little bit about the feature and then, you know, the most difficult piece.
Well, Bing Music is an interesting feature. We've basically designed a new way to search using sensors, in this case the microphone, a way to identify music using your phone's microphone. So it's interesting problem to try to solve. We worked closely with Bing on this one, and the big thing that we really came across is trying to find interesting ways to actually test this, because it works great in the lab if you know you set it up with a, you know, $2,000 stereo next to a, you know, $100 microphone.
You guys have $2,000 stereos?
Need this to test this sort of thing. Yeah, you usually should be in my kind of role.
There you go.
But the hard part is, how does this actually work in the real world? So how does this work when you're in a bar with a lot of people talking? How does it work when there's, you know, TV playing in the background over some music, short samples? And there's just a huge number of test cases.
So let's talk about the test matrix a little bit. How did you guys solve for that? And I mean, did you just want around bars and play music?
We spent all afternoon in bars for a good month and a half.
Group.
Yeah, no, we tried it. We wrote a bunch of test cases in the very beginning of, you know, driving and being in a cafe and a bar and kind of common scenarios where you'd hear music. But then we also kind of reached out to our dog food community, so a community of people actually use our device every day, and got them to help. And there was a huge amount of feedback from that around, you know, where people are actually trying to listen to music. And we'd see things that, you know, you wouldn't expect, like, oh, I was trying to capture that 10-second intro song to a TV show, and trying to design for specific situations like that we didn't even think about.
How much data was that coming? I mean, how many just unique samples was that coming in when you went through that test, the dog fooding program?
We've got tons of them. The dog fooding is tens of thousands of different people. We've got a bunch of automation where we have over 1,000 tracks that just every night are running against the back end to see how, if we're getting any better or any worse at actually detecting music. And then the back end has over 10 million different songs in it.
Wow. But let's, hold on, before we jump to the back end and what it's doing, you know, identifying the aberrations, the guy with the 10 seconds of the video, the television show, when collecting that data, how did you guys surface that signal out of the vast array, the sea of signals that you had? How did you lift these aberrations out and then kind
complaints,
of
complaints, essentially. when things go wrong, we heard about them. So that is,
there you go.
Yeah. By getting enough people's hands, we found out.
So there's a lesson to developers, right? Don't do testing. Wait for the complaints.
Yeah, get into people's hands. A lot of stuff you worry about doesn't actually end up being a problem, and
surprise,
will let you know when you have a problem.
Wow, that's good. Okay, that's interesting. All right, so now let's talk about the back end and what, you know, just 10 million songs?
More than 10 million songs.
Okay, it's going against the Zune library?
Zune library plus some additional content as well.
Wow. Wow. Okay. And so how fast? I mean, obviously this has got to be quick, right? Your sample music is going over the wire. Talk to me about the round trip on this.
We did a lot of work in performance, and that's one of the kind of main things we tried to get better than competitors at. And by continuously processing, we can return a match as soon as we think we have it. So instead of waiting for a, you know, 15-second sample or something like that and then trying to match, we continuously process. So we're continuously setting up fingerprints from the microphone and trying to match as soon as we are confident enough that we have a match.
Wow, so these are like aggregate fingerprints that are coming over the wire, almost like a complex event processing system where you just kind of, you get the signal as you go and you're just dumping out.
As soon as we actually match, then we're good to go and we return the results to the user. So
wow.
Sometimes it takes as long as other competitors, sometimes we get it much quicker.
And so you wanted to show a quick demo to just kind of give people a sense of how this would work?
Yeah, for sure. So let's fire up Rebecca Black here. And we've recognized that that's Rebecca Black's Friday.
So basically that was hold it up, it's listening, processing, round trip to the server, and then come back down.
Yep.
Okay. So this is going to obviously draw questions from the watchers. It's like Shazam. How's this different, better, unique, interesting?
It's actually quite similar to Shazam in the beginning. The focus was on performance, trying to get it faster. And you think you'll see it evolve over time as we try to recognize more things and recognize different things as well. So
interesting.
This is, they say crawl, walk, run. This is our crawl. We've got a lot more in store for audio search, though.
Okay. So let's talk about the innovations you guys had to go, because it sounds like there's a lot of work that went on here, not just in the stuff that's visible to the end user, right, mm-hmm. but in terms of just how you guys built this and how you guys tested this. What do you think are some of the coolest innovations you guys came up with that you can talk about?
The cool part about this was actually working with the full breadth of Microsoft. So this was kind of starting a research group out of Bing.
Wow.
Then it eventually moved into a product group, and then they were trying to find an actual home for it in a product, and Windows wound up being the right fit. So the kind of the cool part of this whole process was seeing it go from a true research group, a group of, you know, not engineers but scientists, all the way into a product group in a fairly short amount of time.
You know, we had the same thing with the motion sensor library, right? Started in MS Research, and it sounds like it you know, it will appear, and certainly over time will reveal more, but there's a lot of research projects that have found homes in the phone, which is really great.
Bing Vision, it's fun. It's a device with a lot of sensors. It's you know, it's a little different than the traditional, you know, Windows 7 PC where you've got a, you know, fixed forms of inputs. We've got gyroscopes and accelerometers and cameras and microphones. It's a lot of fun to play with that stuff, and the research team has been working on that for a lot of years. So
what about some of the innovations on the back end?
The back end,
I mean, obviously that continuous processing sounds pretty interesting. But what else did you guys?
Good question.
Stumped you.
Yeah. The back end is mainly developed by Bing. So their main focus was, you stumped me. Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah. It's what the right answer is, well, it's just a secret. We can't talk about it.
All right.
It's just a secret. You can't talk about it. But in terms of the round tripping on the phone, obviously, I mean, there's, you know, that's pretty fast and you guys got to make it work. But what, you know, if I think about, obviously lots of developers watching this and they're thinking about, all right, I'm building apps and there's something I want to learn from this.
Yeah.
There's things I can take away from this. Give some advice. We had some of the other program managers on talking about, you know, fierce reduction of the feature set to only what's necessary. Others were, you know, end-to-end experience. You know, what advice would you give our developer community and the technical enthusiasts that are looking to build very novel and interesting services?
Definitely just start with the very basics. That fierce reduction is key, and start with exactly what you think you need to solve the problem and get it into people's hands as quickly as possible, because you're going to quickly learn that people are expecting things out of it that it can't do, and you'll either need to tweak the user experience, indicate, you know, this is really what this is designed for, or you'll actually say, okay, there's an opportunity here, and be able to go and do different things. So a lot of the things, you know, people were trying to scan TV shows and trying to stuff like that gave us ideas that we want to take on further. So how people expect the product to work is actually often a good source of inspiration for how to build it.
You know, it's funny, there's Eric Reese, guy down in the Valley, he was at InView, and there was a podcast I listened to a long time ago, but he talks about the minimum viable product as, you know, he gives advice to startups, is get something that's minimal, workable, and get that in people's hands. And he talks about when they first started IMVU, they would sit down with customers and have them use it, and they'd be yelling in the focus group on the other side of the window, no, you're using it wrong, right? And of course, it's always when you put it in the hands of customers, they never use it how you think they're going to use it.
Yeah, and when you get the feedback, don't, you know, one person saying, you really need this feature, ignore that. Wait until three people say you really need that feature, and then consider
getting
building
a real philosophy. Yeah. Right? Wait until it bubbles up. The important ones will continuously.
You'll hear them over and over again when it's an action issue, and everyone has their own pet feature that they think is absolutely critical for this.
That's right.
For us, it was history. We didn't think people would want to go back to stuff they listened to previously, and then there's a huge number of people that's like, well, I listened to it yesterday at the bar, and now I want to download it. I'm at home.
Interesting.
And I can't do, and we heard that over and over again, so we actually ended up adding that to the product based on this feedback.
Huh. That's interesting. Okay. Anything else you guys put in as a result of feedback you got?
We did a lot of tweaking on the visuals and the kind of error dialogues to people really loved album art, seeing the album art. And first we thought, no, the name is enough, that's not a problem. No, ends up music is actually surprisingly visual, and people associate the album art with the actual tracks. And the history was another important change we made, and as well as just trying to indicate when it failed and, you know, how you could actually fix that. So saying, you know, the error message is kind of friendly and says, you know, it doesn't work if you hum or sing the song. You actually need to hold this up to recording
on
a speaker.
Yeah.
So kind of put a friendly voice on the failure case as well.
Well, so now my last question. Mm-hmm. What was the most interesting sample? The one that everyone goes, really? That's what you were listening to?
When we first built it, we were working with Bing. We only knew of two songs that were in the back end. It wasn't yet folded in multiple millions of songs. We only knew two songs in the back end. So Britney Spears' Toxic and Living La Vida Loca by Ricky Martin. So for a good month and a half, myself, the dev, and the tester on this were pretty much continuously listening to those two songs. And I can never listen to Ricky Martin again. Although Britney Spears isn't that bad.
It sounds like college when there was a bit of a hazing incident around a 30-second sample from Two Princes song played over and over again for a 48-hour period, trapped in a room with 30 guys. Can't say much more about it, but
I don't want to know anymore.
I never want to hear that song again.
I can imagine.
Awesome. Well, hopefully that's a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of what's going on with the search on the phone. Thank you very much for coming in, talking to the Niners, and sharing your insights.
Cool. Thanks.